You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. In every relationship, you're pursuing one of two goals. One of those goals leads to deep covenant relationships and the other to chaos and power struggles. In this week's episode, Danny and Brittany are going to show you what those two options are and how to pursue the one that leads to life-giving relationships. So get ready because the newest episode of The Kylo Show is coming at you in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to The Kylo Show. Here we are.
We're back.
We are. Another week at it.
Let's keep this baby rolling.
I know. We're having so much fun. We're right. Going to keep going with our series about parenting stuff. So don't be deterred away because we talk about all sorts of good things.
And it includes the five principles.
Uh-huh. Always does.
So you can teach this to children.
Uh-huh.
And they get it?
They do.
Oh, my gosh.
So in case you don't know what the five principles are, mm-hmm. they are be powerful, choose love over fear, mm-hmm. pursue the goal of connection, practice respectful conversations or communication, and honor healthy boundaries.
You look like you read those.
I did. we were joking. We have to read them every time so we get them right.
We had to like put them into five things we can remember.
Tight little packages for you.
But they are so helpful.
They are. Yeah. So today's parenting is building a heart-to-heart connection. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're chasing after and talking about. And, you know, I think of the heart-to-heart connection piece for me is really the must-have when I look at my relationship with my children or really any relationship, but it feels like this has to be my baseline. Like I have to start from this place of I'm pursuing connection.
It's all about that. It's all about, yeah, I mean, you lose your connection. And it's the biggest problem in the world. Mm-hmm. It's like, stop the train. Everybody focus on solving this. Because if we get to the end of the tracks and we don't have connection, I'm not sure what we picked up.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to be sad that they protected their connections.
Right. I think that just thinking about looking at my children, you know, I think mom always talks or says something like, my goal is that my children fall madly in love with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, which mm-hmm. just sounds like this is connection. Like,
yeah.
I just want to feel connected to your heart. I just want us to love each other well.
Yep.
So that when they're adults, which we all are,
yep.
we are all grown-ups, that we still look back at you guys and say, I love and value this relationship.
Like the hub on a wheel, you know, mm-hmm. like the parents just are supposed to like be this connecting point, and then teach the kids to do that with each other as they face various life trials.
Mm-hmm.
As we watch the Serple clan, you know, figure things out over and over and over, whether it's, you know, it's time to feed the pigs and the lambs, or it's Taekwondo practice again, or whatever, you know, we watch them have to figure out, okay, how do we protect this connection while we struggle to do life?
Do life, yes.
Yes.
Definitely. You know, you often have shown this video of, I think it's Stacey Westfall, mm-hmm. and she has, I don't know that it's in the parenting stuff. I think it's in a
culture of honor.
Yeah. And so, but I always think of that in reference to this verse of, I will guide you with my eye.
Mm-hmm.
In that video, you know, you lead into it so well, but that's what it feels like connection is with the Lord and with our children, is this place of not the evil eye,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not out to scare you into submission, but I'm really here hoping that we have a connection with our hearts that I can just guide you gently. But I mean, you should unpack that a little bit because I think that's such a beautiful analogy.
You know, it actually started when I was doing the parenting stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of my blending love and logic together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were teaching love and logic, but I was starting to see how this is how the Lord leads us. You know, this is amazing. And Psalm 32, you know, David he's writing down the voice of the Lord, and he says, I will direct you, I will teach you, I will guide you with my eye. And don't be like the horse or the mule mm-hmm. that need a bit and a bridle mm-hmm. or they won't follow. And you're like, yeah, okay, this is the new covenant. This is, you know, be on the inside out. Don't be on the outside in. Mm-hmm. Focus on my face and mm-hmm. let me guide you with my eye so that you can be free and we're powered by love and don't lose that. Don't let your heart get hard. Mm-hmm. Because when your heart gets hard, you justify the distance.
Yeah.
And you have to be managed from the outside in. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's why Jesus keeps saying, here's your commandment. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Ready? Wait for it. Okay, focus. Love. And that seems to be a guiding principle, but also one of the toughest things to stay focused on,
right.
Especially when you get hurt, mm-hmm. scared, mm-hmm. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. I had a conversation with a parent from one of the coaching sessions, and we were just talking about how crucial it is to be pursuing connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this place of feeling overwhelmed and frustrated, it's often the first thing that we put down. And we go into this place of wanting and desiring control to feel secure and safe again. And like, we're not living in chaos, but I was trying to challenge the point that, you know, in order to fight against this chaos, you have to win with love.
Mm-hmm.
And which so much comes from, as the parent, we have to be willing to put the sacrifice in, mm-hmm. which feels like a hard thing to do in this generation I'm watching, is that we don't want to be the ones that have to lean in and sacrifice first.
Mm-hmm.
But as the leader of the
who's
family,
the adult here?
Exactly, you have to be the one that's willing to do this, mm-hmm. Which means I have to bring humility when it's needed. Mm-hmm. It means I have to lead with vulnerability. I have to lead in general. I have to say no. I have to be uncomfortable. I think that's one of the biggest things, is that parenting is so uncomfortable sometimes, you know, and just even leaving your grocery cart in the middle of the store because your kid's out of control, but I can either give in to what you call the terrorists, you know, or enforce punishment, or I can fight for this culture I want to protect, which means I'm going to protect connection mm-hmm. and follow through. Mm-hmm. So,
and parenting is so unjust.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair.
Yeah.
It's totally not fair. I mean, you do all this stuff. These people should do some stuff for you. Mm-hmm. You know, they should. Could you just get along?
Please.
Could you just be nice? Could mm-hmm. you just obey? I mean, I've done 10 things for you today.
Yeah.
I just ask you to do this one thing. Nope. No. Fight me.
Yeah. On all things.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
And protect the connection.
And I think that's one of the biggest things also, is that consistency is, I have to keep showing up and telling you in my actions and in my leadership that I'm not going away from this main goal mm-hmm. of loving you well. No matter how bad the day was, that I'm still going to end it, you know, with you not wondering how much love and value I have for you.
You sound like a culture creator, like a leader, like there's a leader in the family. There's somebody that is going to manage themselves mm-hmm. to protect these things, no matter what you do or what happened in my day. I'm going to come back and I'm going to protect these things so that we all are accountable to that. Because when parents bail on mm-hmm. personal responsibility and respect
right.
and required of the children, it's like, let's have a hypocrisy lesson today, children. Okay, I'm going to expect you to do things that yeah. I won't do myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny how, you know, how many dictators there are in homes. In the, you know, I want to command you to do these things, but I'm unwilling to do them myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's part of one of the biggest things, is how can you expect your children to grow into responsible adults when you are not leading them in what it looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you got there. You know, you're like, this is my time to shine. I'm on the throne now. But that it doesn't reproduce something that is...
I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Finally.
And that is kind of this facade that we live in. And, you know, I demand respect. Well, I mean, the most respectful relationship I ever had with someone was someone that I trusted and I felt loved and cared for by. Mm-hmm. It wasn't by somebody that scared me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the first chance you have to take all the power or to get away from that relationship, mm-hmm. you're out of here.
Oh, yeah. And see you later.
And it's because nobody enjoys being captive in a scary environment. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that can be called home.
Yeah.
So you are actually looking to build a place that people want what you have. They want what, you know, they're going to emulate, they're going to repeat, they're going mm-hmm. to reproduce what they learned here. I mean, I don't know how many people I've talked to in counseling throughout my life. I will never be like my parents.
Yeah.
And here I sit being just like them. Mm-hmm. So first thing that's going to have to happen is you're going to have to forgive your parents.
Yeah.
You're going to have to heal that disconnection, or else you are destined to repeat it over and over and over, because disconnection is your model, mm-hmm. not the practice of connection.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we want influence so badly as parents, you know, because of this thing of don't leave home, or let me guide you, or let me influence you, and I want to stay connected. But we, you know, we use control and hope that that will produce, you know, this place of influence. But really, it's connection that's the greatest highway that mm-hmm. gets you influence. Mm-hmm. But it is a road that is, like you said, unjust, and it's not glamorous, and it's hard, and it takes and work and all those things. You know, I think there's so many times where I have just laid in bed and thought, I just don't want to do this. Like, it is so hard.
Yeah.
But that's not an option.
They should call parenting the road to maturity.
Yes.
Because, you know, mature love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. And you are digging deeper in your parenting role, maybe even more than marriage. Even though your spouse acts mm-hmm. like a child, it's still different, because mm-hmm. these people, you know, they need you. Right. They need you to show up. They need you to survive. They mm-hmm. really do, for quite a while, actually. And so you're like, oh my gosh, this is, and then you don't have like five spouses classically living with you, you know? So, but if you have five children, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like
it's
a you know, exponent here. Yeah. So there is a demand on your self. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so hard to be selfish mm-hmm. as a parent. It's totally possible.
It's totally possible.
But it's harder because mm-hmm. these people need you to show up. Mm-hmm. They, you know, and so the road to maturity is the road to casting out, what about me? Mm-hmm. What about me? When am I going to get some? Yeah. When am I going to get, you know, how come, why? That's, you know, you can do that in your marriage for quite a while, mm-hmm. get away with it. But when you show up, when these children show up, you have to act like an ape to get away with that.
Right. I think part of this, you know, taking good care of yourself is what makes the pursuit of connection so genuine. When we're not taking good care of ourselves, I feel like all those demands and those pulls become just piles of bitterness.
Yeah.
And then it is, you know, you're so ungrateful. Then there's this interruption, and then that disconnect that happens. So what changes, I think, for me is the taking good care of myself and knowing that where I'm at my limit and when I need to tap out, like when I need Ben's help, when I needed to communicate with the kids, like I need a break or I need you to figure this out. But I think that's the part where we don't manage very well, which turns disconnection into such a protected place, because it's the only place where we feel we get to actually take care of ourselves.
So we have to take better care of our heart than we do of our phone. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's, yes, you know, definitely.
I mean, because we're more afraid of that little red bar showing up on our battery mm. on our phone, then we are paying attention to, am I exhausted? Am I stressed? Mm-hmm. Am I setting boundaries with the, you know, mm-hmm. with this situation? Yeah. Am I making time to get what I need and not demand it in the moment from a stressed out child? You know, am I taking good care of myself mm-hmm. is the only way that you're going to produce that garden that has the fruit to offer.
Mm-hmm. Which I think, you know, in the seven pillars, when I teach it, I talk about faith being a place where we are coming and getting filled up so that we're able to direct that towards our family mm-hmm. instead of looking to our families to pull from them to get filled up, mm-hmm. which I think has also been a twist that's happened in families is they become our source of purpose rather than the source that we're directing our purpose. Mm-hmm. And that is, yeah, that is not helping us build connection in this relationship that we have with our families.
I think in the love language sessions, I think I actually bring up that, you know, you are my target, not my source. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, staying plugged into your source is super vital.
Yeah. It is a necessary thing to take good care of yourself and making sure that you are pursuing that connection, which is what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm excited about the questions that we're going to have.
Yep.
And we are chasing after connection today with parenting.
One way to take care of yourself is to ask good questions and get helpful feedback. That's why each week Danny and Brittany answer your questions to give you real-world examples of how to apply the Kylo principles to your everyday life. So what an amazing opportunity you have to submit your questions for expert analysis and feedback to your most pressing relationship problems. So if you have a question for Danny and Brittany, I'd encourage you to go to thekyloshow.com and click Start Recording to send them your questions.
So our first question comes from Rebecca.
Okay, Rebecca.
How do I get my kids to be better friends? I feel like I'm doing all that I can and they just keep bickering and getting frustrated with each other. And I see other people's kids and they seem to really enjoy each other's presence. And mine just seem to fight over the tiniest thing and rarely just play with each other. They are 8 years old, 4 years old, and 3 years old.
That's no fun.
Kids that are fighting.
Yes. Yeah. Sibling rivalry mm-hmm. is right up there in, if I could solve one problem today attending this 6-hour training, it would be yeah. respect, chores, sibling rivalry, mm-hmm. homework.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are usually up there.
Boom.
I think, I mean, as far as for us personally with our kiddos and what we've done is I feel like we've really pushed on the this is your guys' relationship to manage. And it's really important to us, mm-hmm. which means that if your life gets uncomfortable, looks like, you know, feel free to have TV, feel free to have, you know, whatever it is you might want to do, your Legos or go outside and play or have dinner as soon as you've worked this out. Mm-hmm. Like just the other day, I was outside walking around and there are two younger ones who are 11 and 9 were on the trampoline and I can hear this growing tension in their exchange, mostly from my daughter, but it escalates to now they're both very angry and they end up in the lawn where I am. And I look at them, I'm like, what's going on? And so they just immediately, well, he, well, she, well, he, you know, it's just this like, how fast can we tell mom about the other person?
Whose fault it is.
Yes. And I said, oh, guys, I actually don't want to hear any of that. I said, I'm not sure what you're going to do, but feel free to come in the house as soon as you've worked this out because this is no fun to be around and you two created a mess with each other. So I love you. Let me know if you need my help. Mm. And I went in the house and it was, I could hear Adeline go, I'm sorry, which is very convincing.
From down deep, deep, deep in my heart.
Complete ownership mm-hmm. of everything. And I went in the house waiting for them to come in because I knew that that's what was going to come next. And sure enough, here they come. And I'm like, hey, did you guys work it out? And Addie's like, yeah. And Lincoln's like, And I said, so not really. I said, well, then what are you doing in my house? I said, looks like you still need to be outside.
Poopy shoes.
Exactly. And so eyes were rolled and they walked outside. And this was the biggest thing is that, you know, since they were little, we have always pushed back mm-hmm. on their relationship. And sure, there was more navigation and help. Probably like she's got a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old. You might need help helping the 4-year-old. Mm. The 8-year-old probably could handle most of it on their own. But if it's a new attempt, I would say you might need to help navigate, like asking good questions. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do to make mommy feel safe that you're going to take care of this relationship? Those are the type of things that we've done.
So you're saying that even when they're small, you are emphasizing that the biggest problem in the world is a disconnect. And when they get disconnected, it actually affects the quality of their life, their little access to all the stuff that they normally have access to, including coming in the house. It was a nice day out there.
It wasn't snowing or anything, right? None of that.
And you're like, yeah, work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you stepped in dog do out mm-hmm. in the yard, you're like, whoa, work that out. That does not come in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they export that culture and they're pretty pleasant to be around. That's 99% true. Of the time.
And it's just this practice over and over again.
Yeah.
And you got to catch it quick, tone, look, anything that feels like disrespect in that relationship, I would be confronting.
Mm-hmm.
It's more work up front, but in the long-term run of things, it's totally worth it.
Pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next question we have comes from Gertie.
Gertie.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what that's short for.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. How do you stay connected when your child is making decisions that you disagree with and you know that it's going to cause major problems for them?
This sounds like maybe an adult child a little bit.
It's probably all parenting.
Yes.
You know, the child's lying, the child's stealing, the child's hitting people. That happens early.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll speak to the younger age ones. You can speak to the grown-ups. How about that?
Gosh.
I think, you know, the biggest part is, you know, not being afraid to let them have their mess. I often say, parents, you get in your way all the time of them learning this lesson of the consequences that naturally happen when you lie on a test and you get caught. And then you get a zero on your test instead of, you know, a bad grade.
Mm.
But if you go in and debate with the teacher, like, well, how about they'll do it again? And I'll make sure, you know, you now have taken on their problem, which is what happens all the time when failure is definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really one of the number one things I see happen is parents just jump in because it's hard to watch your kid fail or be in pain.
Yeah.
But it is also so necessary, especially on the little things. You know, like lying, you steal something from the grocery store. What are you going to do? Well, we'll leave as soon as you've cleaned up that mess. And for them to have to walk through apologizing and then whatever consequences are handed to them, which looks like, you know, you got to sweep the back porch of the store or whatever. I don't know that they would do that.
Hopefully.
Now. Call the cops on you. I mean, I doubt that would happen. But still, this exchange of possible suffering, you know, if we don't let them encounter this, they just live without it, which just creates this world of lack of ownership mm-hmm. of their behavior, mm-hmm. which is what we don't want.
And that's all practice for when they are adults
mm-hmm.
and they can have sex with whoever they want to. They're not even adults. I mean, it's just like, here we go. This is all blossoming into these small children are learning to experience consequences so that they actually see that, touch the stove. That's hot. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I want to do that again.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you last time you did that?
Right.
And you want to be able to say something like, oh, gosh, I wouldn't do that if I were you, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't need those fingertips for a while. You know, I don't know. Maybe you do want the craziness of a life like that, or maybe you do need some police interaction in your life. I don't know. But I don't get to decide what you do with the quality of your life. All I can actually do is impart an experience of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Of peace, of joy, of connection. I can impart that to you when you're in my house.
Yeah.
But then you're going to move on and you're going to experiment with all kinds of stuff. And maybe you need a little more pain. Maybe you need a little more chaos. Maybe you need a whole bunch of, you know,
crazy.
Suffering,
yeah.
You know, like, oh,
yeah.
I don't get to decide that. And it is, oh, it is so hard mm-hmm. to watch parents with their children who, for one reason or another, don't make wise choices and continue to do so.
Yeah.
So as much as possible, you know, introduce, feel really sad with them.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm really sad. I'm so sorry you're hurting. There is zero desire for me to see you hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that these consequences, as painful as they are probably showing you what happens every time you touch the stove.
Yeah. All right. Our next question comes from Vivian.
Hi, Danny. What kind of practical tips you could give it to a parent, set the parents they're trying to live a powerful lifestyle instead of controlling? And at the same time, you give options, but you're not going to allow a kid to do something that you know that's wrong. You know, I'm talking about preteen, teenagers. So you started wrong, but now you have to be on the right track. So what is some practical tips you could give to someone that is starting kind of late? Thank you.
Well, that sounds similar.
I was going to say, I think it goes back to the same thing, is that we get in our way, usually because we're scared and we want control, and we're scared of the outcome of the suffering. You know, the consequences of a teenager having sex is a baby, you know? So that feels terrifying. But to try and control them to not having sex, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what it produces is a disconnected relationship with zero influence and
which I think starts first.
Yeah.
I think the disconnected relationship is what sets them up to find themselves in all these other relationships that they are super connected to and have next to no regard for you, because they started to disconnect, or they got disconnected and you went rah. And you got scared and you tried to pull it all in, and you didn't show them your broken heart. You showed them your bulletproof.
Yeah,
your bulletproof vest. And you're like, you can't hurt me. I'm the parent. Mm-hmm. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And blah. And so the child learns that it's not about protecting a connection. It's about a power struggle and who wins.
Yeah.
And I think that's the setup to what goes from there. So. Mm-hmm. If I have a disconnected situation and my child does feel adrift, then the first thing I'm doing is I'm fishing for that heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's that connection? Can we pull it back in? Can we value this relationship together? I mean, those are first steps of getting it back, is really work on that connection. Don't work so hard on controlling the behavior, because you want to really teach them to manage their own behavior.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when we focus on behavior, unintentionally we start communicating that my love is conditional and that your behavior will get my attention, affections to you more than if you're misbehaving. And that's the furthest thing that's true, but that's what happens when we're scared. So I think you just had the...
Yeah, it's a little tricky in that... the behavior can create the disconnect, which feels like I'm withholding my love instead of I'm hurting.
Yes.
I'm scared. So it's a like similar feeling.
Thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like what I do on the other side is really what puts on display what's happening. So if on the other side of getting disconnected, I get hurt and I get scared, that I withhold my love and I leave you adrift, I cut you off, I punish you with my anger or whatever, then there's the performance treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
But if on the other side of I'm hurt, I'm scared, I let you see me, I let you see my heart, it's trashed, and on the other side of that, I'm still speaking your love language.
Yeah, I'm pursuing.
It's a little confusing for the child to go, am I in trouble? You still like me? What's happening here? Mm-hmm. And that's really putting a connection on display instead of putting punishment on display.
Which I think when I was a teenager and had my season of crazy and disappeared, dating this guy that wasn't saved, scaring all of you, basically, I remember the pursuit of my heart and saying I love you in the way that I heard it. Mm-hmm. When for the first time, you know, in my life, I am out of control in a way that I've never been before.
Never been more scared as a dad.
Yeah, which again is just displaying a confusion of I don't really know what I'm supposed to do because I feel convicted by your pursuit of love of me mm-hmm. that I feel undeserving of because I know I'm breaking your heart, but yet you haven't stopped loving me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's really, for me, you know, that was kind of a big place that I just kept leaning into trying to find truth in the midst of my own chaos as a teenager. So,
and it was a, you know, it wasn't a real long season, but it felt like eternity while you're in that powerless spot as a parent, trying to set limits, stay connected, but not controlling, but set limits.
Yeah.
But
it's a dance.
Yeah.
All that fun.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much. That was great. Fun questions. Always fun to talk about all this stuff with these guys and their real life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
That testimony from Brittany was amazing. Do you have a testimony that displays the power of keeping your love on? If so, we would love to hear it. To share your testimony, visit thekyloshow.com and click Start Recording.
All right, so now we're going to do our testimony.
I love testimonies.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a testimony from someone named Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi, my name is Lisa Campbell. I left a question for you and just decided to go ahead and leave a testimony. I just can't say enough about how much Kylo has impacted my life. I came out of an abusive relationship that I was in for 21 years, have undergone much counseling, SOZOs, et cetera. And just the idea of being vulnerable was so hard for me. But reading Kylo, being a part of the studies, it changed my world and showed me how courageous and strong that actually is. And it just affirmed a lot of communication principles that have helped me greatly as I am in a new marriage. I mean, I've been married for 6 years now, but we have a blended family. We have utilized Kylo personally between us. We have done it with our family. We have done it as a women's Bible study at our church. I officiated a wedding, had a couple go through it. We have a daughter that's getting married that has now gone through Kylo. And I can just tell you that it has made all the difference in the world for them as well. We are so grateful for the incredible impact that this has done. It's really a lot of simplicity, but depth that it just, if you walk in it and you start exercising that muscle, it changes everything. It makes everything so much healthier. So thank you so much.
Never gets old.
She's just swimming in Kylo stuff.
She
is. Mean, she's putting it out there everywhere she can.
So I love it. She's one of our Kylo evangelists.
That's it.
Yeah.
She's telling everybody. Spreading the word.
Thanks, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. I think about, you know, Kylo is, it's simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can know those five principles and still, when it comes time, mm-hmm. you know, to protect that connection or be honest, but respectful and mindful of the connection mm-hmm. or, you know, just chase fear away by turning your love on mm-hmm. or up. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, all these things are going to be, I think they're going to be the test of your faith. Mm. They're the test of your hope. The reward again and again is the peace that surpasses understanding when you get your connection.
Yeah.
And when you're standing in a connection, your whole worldview changes. When you're standing in a disconnection, your whole worldview changes. So I mean, I understand that. I live that. And so helping other people It's like, all right, this whole idea of connection is paramount. It's like, I can't think of a more directive goal than connection. Even working with church leadership, business executive teams, couples, parents, whoever that, you know, we find ourselves pouring into, it's going to be, all right, where's the disconnects? What are we going to do about it? Is this culture creating disconnection? Is it a scary place? Mm-hmm. Or is this culture robust enough to handle powerful people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that reminds me of a story that I said I wanted to share, which you haven't heard yet, so it should be fun.
Okay.
But so Adeline is our 11-year-old. She'll be 12. She just started junior high. I mean, that's the biggest social thing in her life right now. She's consumed by it, having so much fun. Super. We love it.
I love Addie so much.
So what we've been noticing is that getting ready for youth group has turned into this ordeal. And her wardrobe selection, her hair, I mean, she's just in a tizzy more than we've ever seen her in before.
Here we go.
And then it started turning into, like, she'd get kind of harsh with her brother because she's all flustered, and then me, and then I'm trying to help her. Like, last week I braided her hair, and then she said, will you take it out so it's curly? And I'm thinking, you have naturally curly hair, which you hate. I don't know that this is going to work out, but I was like, sure. So I undo it, and then I'm trying to help her, and she's mad and mad at me. And I said, honey, I love you. I said, but I'm not doing your hair anymore tonight. And so it's just, so this anxiety and swirl inside of her has been growing, and it's been getting on all of us, which feels odd because Adeline is our probably most sensitive and aware to everyone in the house. Like, she's the first to serve. She's just this very mindful young lady, which we all love, and she's super silly on top of it. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more sass and kind of, I don't know, just this thing. So I'm talking to Ben. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I know she hasn't got her period yet, but oh my gosh, I'm kind of freaking out because this, I don't like any of this. And he's like, I'm noticing it too. So we're talking.
She's revving up.
I know. I'm like, all right, we got to get ready. So we had some friends over, and she had this exchange, and I was like, who is this child? Because that is not her normal response. And so we were leaving, and she kind of got in that swirl again of what she's going to wear. And I said, honey, I said, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, I'm feeling scared. And so we're just kind of talking through, like, the different things that have been happening and we've been noticing. And Ben starts asking her, you know, how she's doing with staying close to our hearts and the Lord's heart. And how is she doing talking to herself? And you can see she's getting more emotional, which she hates. And she's trying to, but the thing that amazed me was that she just stayed in this conversation almost like an adult. What, I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, she says, I have not been so connected, and I don't feel super connected to the Lord. And, you know, she's going to youth group, which is where you go to hang out with Jesus, but it is so social that it's very distracting. Mm. And I said, honey, I love you so much. I said, I love the fun. I love the silly Addie. I love the playful. I said, but lately, the anxiety of other people's opinion on what you're going to wear seems to be winning over everything that you are. And Ben's asking her some really great questions just about, does that feel true? You know, why are you so concerned? All these things. And we get to the end of it, and, you know, we're all kind of, you can feel the room shifting and that we're just moving closer instead of further away, which was beautiful. Mm. And at the end of it, you know, her eyes are welling up with tears. And I said, honey, I love you so much. I said, I don't ever want you to change because somebody else thinks you need to be cooler. Mm. And she looks at me and she goes, what do you need from me, Mom? And I'm like,
Winner, chicken
dinner.
Did she
just ask me that? I was just blown away in that, you know, this culture that we've been fighting for and just having this dialogue and asking good questions. And her response was, what do you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I need you to love you more than anything anyone else says first. Mm. And that you stay Addie and you stay connected to us. And she's like, okay. So then I'm hugging her and she's just crying. Mm. And then Ben hugs her and she's crying. But it was just this beautiful thing of the connection is the biggest thing. And her behavior was getting scary, but neither one of us went in and was like, ah, it was just like, hey, what is going on? We're feeling kind of scared. And just leading with, we want to protect our connection, but this behavior is not our culture.
Mm.
And again, when she said, what is it that you need from me, Mom? I almost fell on the floor because I was like, did this just happen? I was telling Anna the other day in the kitchen, and I'm crying telling the story because I was like, I couldn't believe it. But it was just such a beautiful testimony of when you're practicing, I'm protecting connection all the time, and then you go to have a hard conversation. But the culture is, this is the priority.
Mm-hmm.
She knew exactly where to meet us.
And, so good.
And it was just like, winning for sure. It felt great.
That is a great story. And that feels like, you know, we've been through some stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
each child. I'm not sure what Lincoln's bringing down the pike here, you know, but he's had a couple situations, but he's the caboose on this train. But it does impress, you know, with when the culture's inside them,
mm-hmm.
and they are focused on the connection. They do know that that's the biggest problem in the world, is losing that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, poof, here we go. I need to clean up this mess. I need to tend to this disconnect. I need to take responsibility of something. Or I need to, you know, What do you need to feel from me? Mm-hmm. Is she's heard that a million times?
At least, yes.
She's heard that a million times. And so she's like, okay, well, this is who we are. This is, you know, mm-hmm. a family really is a group identity. It's supposed to be like that. That would be why the devil would work so hard to explode it, is so that nobody really has an identity. Everybody's mm-hmm. trying to ask someone else who they are, instead of being able to draw strength from knowing who they are.
Right.
And then when the group gets threatened, there is a way that we behave mm-hmm. and communicate with each other that tightens that back up and holds us. And so, you know, the family creed that's on the wall, the consistent interaction with all the family members, every adult is held to the highest standards.
Mm-hmm.
The children are simply being trained mm-hmm. in it. So it's kind of like we teach, where we speak the most proper English, and they are being trained in it. You know, like they're in English school. They're in connection school, where they're watching us.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, the person that we're processing about at some point, one of these kids are going to say, wow, you sound really upset. What are you going to do? You know, they're going to come and get us.
Mm-hmm.
But they're being trained in the constant practice of meaning what we say, saying what we mean, and doing what we say we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, it's like a boomerang. Like you threw that out there and came back.
It did come back. And again, I think the culture piece, you know, and pursuing this place of connection, it is so hard when it feels so risky because mm-hmm. your heart is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the most often thing I talk to parents about when they're in a place of disconnect is to put my heart out there one more time.
Mm.
Feels like the scariest thing I could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the truth is that you just keep doing it. I mean, the Father does it over and over again with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He never stops putting His heart out there. And that's what we're supposed to mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're stuck with that question of, I can't give my heart away one more time. Well, what if this was the last time that it was required and you didn't? You know, I just think of what would it be like if the prodigal son returned and the father was like, I'm tired, mm-hmm. you know, but that one last time, you never know when the last time is, but it'd be such a place of heartbreak if you just didn't that one more time. And I think that just to encourage you that I don't know how many times I feel like I've done it with my kids or different people that I love, but it's worth it 100 times when there's breakthrough on the other side of it.
Yeah, nobody's going to go to their grave sorry that they kept their connections open, that they kept their love on, mm-hmm. you know, which essentially what you're saying is do the reps, practice, you know, build your endurance, and it actually becomes who you are. It's not a behavior you have to go find.
Right.
It's just comes I out. Live my life keeping my love on, mm-hmm. and I've faced many obstacles and ogres and orcs out there, but I kept my love on, mm-hmm. and I moved through them because light is more powerful than darkness 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So, Kylo.
Yeah.
Whole healthy families.
That's it.
Gonna save the world, baby.
That's what we're doing. So I guess be that light.
Yeah.
Be the light to your family, because it's contagious, and I think it's worth every risk that you might have.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us for the Kylo Show, and remember, whole healthy families are going to save the world. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about how to model respectful communication. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Also, don't forget to submit your listener questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Anna Hill, Lee Alexander, Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Smoren. That's all for this show. We'll see you next week.